Welcome to What the Hex, your source for Warhammer Underworlds and under 30 brilliant schemes. Yes, yes, I'm your co-host, Davey, and with me I have my almost trusted co-host, Phil. How are you doing, Phil?
Great, great. Yes, yes.
Love to hear it. So, let's be real. By the time folks are hearing this, for context, we are recording on the 4th of March. We've just for a couple of days had in our hands a veritable treasure trove. Somebody moved a dump truck up to my front door and dumped a bunch of Underworlds releases on my front step. And so we've probably already talked about this at this point. You are in our week of celebration of Underworlds, and we are going to be quick and to the point here. Today you're getting Spike Claws Swarm, the Redux, the redo, 2024 version. Before we jump into the warband itself, I thought it'd be prudent. You and I have been playing this since they first came out. So
sort of have.
Yeah. Phil, what do you, before you look at these cards, because, you know, as I'm sure we've said for some of these, we are making this content. We kind of have two audiences. We have the audience that has maybe never even seen these. You know, this is a very old warband at this point, right?
Depending on how you want to look at it, either the 5th or 6th, because they used to release two at a time.
That's right, because what was three and 4 were Sepulchral Guard and the Iron Skulls.
Iron Skulls, yeah. Boys, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So these guys came out with the Chosen Axes alongside them. Anyway, so there's the audience that remembers that, like us, but then there's folks who haven't seen it at all. And so we're going to be threading that line, but you should just understand that we're to some extent coming at this from the perspective of players who have played against, have seen this before, but we'll try and keep in mind that some folks haven't. But Phil, what do you remember about these guys?
They're fast and tricky. I distinctly remember we went up to Waupaca, which is in Waupaca, Wisconsin. It was the first like larger Underworlds tournament I had ever played in. Mm-hmm. And Aaron came up with us when he still played Underworlds. You get the man to roll dice.
Yeah.
Except that is the other thing I remember about the warband is they were a hold objective warband early on, and he didn't roll any dice. That was the whole plan, was that he wouldn't have to roll any dice the whole time. And he stuck to his word, and they actually performed quite well.
Yeah. I think you've hit on it. The sort of iconic characteristics of this warband was high speed, a very controllable Inspire mechanic with the choose.
Yeah.
I would say maybe one of the most iconic abilities was the ability to bring fighters back in enemy territory on starting hexes.
Man, it was wild.
Yeah. And it really, I mean, it was such an iconic thing that it opened up certain play styles that were if not uniquely available to them, then available to them and only a couple other warbands. So
yeah, for sure.
There's that. And then like many of these warbands that are getting overhauled, a objective and power deck that had a huge amount of deficiencies and then maybe a couple of for these guys, I think there wasn't any particular standouts in the objective deck. There were a couple like Banana Town cards in the power deck and then a bunch of like Drek. But I'm thinking of like Expendable here, which is like, oh, I'm about to die. Instead, I will do a damage to you and you get no glory. And that's repeatable. And like,
yeah, which was just like, what?
So we'll see. I mean, I think our hope coming forward is that they have retained the flavor of this warband, that they have sanded down some of those insane highs and then done a lot of work to bring up, make it a serviceable, you know, because the other thing was it was not a 32 card deck. This is in the days of that. So
not Rivals legal, which was wild.
Yeah. Right. Some of my most vivid memories are losing to Zach in the semis of Adepticon in 2022.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With lost one to two with my Miaris. They're pretty screaming good games, but very interesting warband. But let's see what they look like, huh?
Yeah. I guess did we say, so are these releases, we're just going to give, we haven't seen any of these cards before, and we're just going to give you our thoughts as we read them.
Yeah.
Something a little different from what we usually do, but we just figured there's so many to cover, and I think everybody wants to hear about them as quickly as possible, and so our normal plan of like play a handful of games with them and really like learn the ins and outs of all the cards, we don't have time to do that. So
yeah,
here we go, folks.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And I should say that so Phil and I have not seen these cards before this episode. We will have a more measured review on our blog. And then, of course, we'll talk about these warbands more as the days come. But what that means is that it's entirely possible that in the course of this, we will miss some important thing. We're going to try not to, but you can let us know about it.
Absolutely. All the normal places.
Yep. So, go for it. Let's start with the man himself, the rat himself.
Yeah. I was going to say, we got Scritch, the Spike Claw. So I'm just looking at his front half here. This all looks the same to me. He's 5 move, 2 dodge, 4 wounds.
You'd be surprised to learn that he was 1 dodge uninspired on his previous iteration. So,
There you go.
Yeah, that's a good little bump.
The changes over time that like stuff that just wouldn't fly for a leader these days.
Yeah.
And then his Wicked Halberd, I think 2 range, 2 smash, 2 damage. That sounds very familiar as well.
That sounds about right. He might have had some weird thing like on a crit, he gets cleave or something, one of the more useless abilities. But importantly, I see he's still got his resurrect action. This has got a name on it, Swarm.
Yeah.
Action, choose a friendly minion that is out of action. Place the chosen fighter in an empty starting hex. And we're seeing there like the keywords coming in to make that kind of a cleaner thing. And then something new here, Schemer, range 1 or 2 attack actions made by this fighter that are supported by 1 or more friendly minions have crit grievous 1. Ooh.
All right. Wow.
Spicy.
That seems pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of depends, right, on the power cards, but if they have ways of getting multiple rats adjacent to a target, like in this, to sort of set up before your next turn, that's a nice way of getting extra accuracy and a potential extra damage.
Sure. And a nice way to hit back at somebody who whiffs on a rat, and then they're in danger. And then not crazy because it's a 2 smash attack.
That is
not the most reliable, but you can threaten it. Still. All right, well, let's see what he gets. And the Inspire looks like it's the same. Is chosen as the target of a ploy.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I should say it's a control, like it's very controlled. Mm-hmm. Having ploys that choose is not always easy, but still good. So it looks
notice
like
that it is specifically ploy and not gambit. So spells that choose are not going to trigger this.
Yeah. Although so if you wanted to be crazy and like do Force of Frost and make one of your rats a wizard or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm more getting at, because there's this thing where enemies playing cards will choose your fighters and you have to be like, oh, gosh, I want to choose this rat, but I'm going to inspire him. You can blaze away with spells and not inspire these guys.
Oh, wow. Well, that's maybe unfortunate a little bit, but it's interesting. So I'm seeing he's picking up cleave, which is pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
For folks who don't know right now, block is, I'd say, more prevalent because of some of the upgrades that give defense from the Deathgorge box.
Yeah.
So having cleave is really nice. And then he picks up Spinning Halberd, which I believe he had a scything attack like this previously, but this is 3 fury for 1 damage, which seems... And it has a grievous 1, so probably better than it used to be.
So he didn't have it on card. There was an upgrade that you would probably never take that I think let him do this. So,
okay. So that's what I was remembering is that they had something with scything, but now it's just baked in. That's cool. That's a really nice little bonus to have. Ending up with scything, I feel like, can be really important in certain matchups. So, otherwise, I think everything else looks the same, though.
Okay.
Really solid.
Yep. Yeah. Great leader. He's one of the big workhorse leaders of the early game. And looks like he has that. He doesn't get all the way to three damage automatically anymore, which is, I think, fine, given how easily you can control that. So, but he can threaten it with Grievous, and he can threaten it from the start. So just kind of even that out.
Still pretty good.
Right-hand rat, Kirk the Almost Trusted. Captain Kirk.
However, there's no vowels in that word.
Put him wherever you want. Interesting. So he's 2 smash, 2 damage. Range 2. This was always an interesting thing with Kirk, was that he had this big spear and he was just range 1. So
I like that.
That's a nice bump. He's moved 5, 1 block, 3 health. That's in line. He's got a bunch of other stuff going on. So he's got Schemer. So he's got the same crit Grievous if supported. That's cool.
Okay. Nice.
And then Kirk rules now. Reaction, use this after a friendly Scritch is taken out of action. Draw 2 power cards. that's really I love cool. that. Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to get you a lot, but like, it's not nothing either. Right. It's very in theme. For folks who don't know any more about like the greater Age of Sigmar lore, Skaven are very much like underhanded backstabbers, where most of the time when they get promoted, it's because they killed their direct superior. So it'll be interesting to see if there's some way to like intentionally kill your leader to do this. But either way, I like it. I think that's fun.
Let's see. And it says also Kirk leads while a friendly Scritch is out of action. This fighter is a leader. So that's this is a warband with some leader redundancy.
Yeah.
All right. Nice.
And I think there was an upgrade they used to have that let him be your leader.
It let him resurrect. If not become a leader, it might be. Okay. You might be correct. I know there's definitely one that let him bring rats back, bring the minions back.
Yeah.
So. When he inspires, so he used to go to 2 block. Now he's on 2 dodge, healthy, leaderly.
Still good.
Yeah. and then his Kirk rules now is draw 3 power cards. So solid.
3 power cards. Dang.
Kill that Scritch. Go for it.
Get him. I kind of like having mechanics like that where it's almost a rubber band where it's like, yeah, I'm going to be behind a little bit now, but I get something out of it.
Yeah, I occasionally had some kind of big wins in Skaven when I managed to dive Scritch early, especially because he'd start on that 1 dodge, and if you managed to surprise them and smoke them early on.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Let's hit the minions.
Yeah. So first one up is Lurking Skaven. This is the guy with like the punch daggers on his hands. If rats have hands, I guess. Speed 5, 2 dodge, 2 wounds, which I believe is... He was the more defensive of them. So
yeah, he was the only one who started on 2 dodge.
Which is nice.
Yep.
And then
so he always started up front.
Yeah. And he's still range 1, 2 fury for 1 damage. So he's still not really doing a whole lot for you when he's uninspired, but... It could be worse.
Yeah, and he's always a good one to go dive an objective in enemy territory or something like that, because you're like, well, I got to swing on this 2 dodge guy now. So
yeah, making your opponent make tough choices.
Yeah.
What is he looking like when he's inspired?
He picks up 1 extra dice on his range 1 attack, which was the same as he used to do. He was like very... not much change on his inspire, but he's actually picked up now a hurled shuriken, range 3, 2 fury, 1 damage. So very modest ranged attack, but that's cool. Sometimes, especially if you're trying to get multiple attacks or something like that, or it lets you get an attack off if you're just doing positioning stuff. So that's cool.
Yep. Yeah. There's plenty of times in Starblood where like I'm going to be moving on to an objective where I'm in range to shoot anyway.
Yeah.
I might as well be charging. I might roll a crit.
Yeah, the number of times Tok has killed me on just like a, I guess I'll try this 2 fury thing. Like, oh no, here we go.
Of course. Yeah. Oh man, the hungering Skaven here is the next one. He's 5 move. I think they're all going to be 5 move. They were all 5 move before.
Yeah,
but he's 1 block.
That's
because he has a shield.
Yeah, I kind of like that they're doing that now. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, and then he's two wounds still. Okay. And he has Scavenged Flail. So he's range one, one smash for one damage, and it has Scything.
Okay, so the Scything is new. Everything else is the same, except for that defense. Wow, all right.
One smash Scything. okay.
Rolling crits, hopefully.
Yeah.
The only thing he gains on Inspire is one extra dice on his attack roll.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not horrible. If you're going to have to choose between attacking multiple fighters or one with a really bad attack, I guess maybe you just swing for the fences and they're like,
sure.
Crits or nothing, basically.
And he used to have that as an upgrade. Like Black Hunger would give him like super Scything, where he'd attack friends and enemies Scything style, and that had extra damage or whatever. So
one damage, something like that.
Keeping a little of that flavor, I guess this gives you a way to kind of, if he's the guy and these are resurrectable, you can kind of power him up if you're facing enemy hordes and just flail around in the crowd if you get him a little extra damage or accuracy or both.
Don't hate it.
That just leaves Festering. What do we got on him?
Yeah. Five move, one dodge, two wounds, which sounds about the same as it was before. And then one range, two fury for one damage, which, again, is not much to write home about. But, these guys are just there to kind of be in the way, and you can bring them back multiple times. So you can give them some upgrades. They're still decent.
Yeah.
Inspired, though, he's picking up an extra dodge on defense, and then he's going to three Fury and Grievous on his daggers, which is actually not too bad.
Yep, the Grievous is new. He had, we'll see if it still exists, but he had an upgrade that gave him essentially Grievous 2.
Yeah.
So he was sometimes, Hungering Skaven would be your crowd clearance, and Festering could be your big target stabber.
Yeah, and just hope you got a crit and then go to town. But that's all the fighters. They, I would say, modest improvements, generally speaking?
Yeah, I think some quality of life things. There's some stuff that's flavorful in there. Kirk looks like he's got a more interesting role in the warband, too, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. How about we move on to some objectives?
Sure. First one up is a brilliant scheme plan. This is a surge for one. Score this immediately after an activation step if there are three or more inspired surviving friendly fighters. Ooh. Hmm. That feels like auto-include to me. If you build your deck right, plenty of chooses.
Yeah.
Resurrects.
I have to imagine this should just kind of happen. There should be. And if your opponent plays, not that there's as many distractions anymore, but if your opponent's playing stuff that's going to choose even just one of your fighters, suddenly becomes pretty easy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
And that's any activation step. So not a power step. So you can't bump there. You have to wait till the next activation.
Wait a little bit, but.
So there's a little counterplay. If somebody sees you got your third inspired, they could try and knock one of them down just to slow it down a little bit. So
yeah. All right. Sweet. So the next one up is against all the odds, not just against the odds or against all odds.
Do we have to do a Phil Collins recommended listening after this?
Maybe. This one is a duel, so obviously going to be a little different than it was before because duel wasn't a thing back then. There are two or more surviving friendly minions, and each surviving friendly minion is in no one's or enemy territory. This is for two glory. It's doable. I do wonder though, are you just gonna rush all of your minions in enemy territory?
Well, I think this is a fun one later, as they've kind of come in after you've brought rats back, and then this is that kind of card that says, hey, am I gonna turn around and go back in?
Yeah.
If you're activating last with the Spike Claw Swarm, then you can either resurrect or run somebody in. To just kind of make sure you lock it in, I guess, possibly.
Yeah.
It's interesting because two or more, but also all. So not terrible.
I mean, for two glory, I think it's still plenty reasonable. Yeah. It's doable. It's not It's not like, why are they asking me to do this? I think there's a solid strategy there.
Pretty great quote on this too. What? How? Yes, lucky. Or exactly as I planned.
Oh, lovely.
Bury them in bodies is the next one. This is an end phase duel for two. Scores in the end phase if there are two or more surviving friendly fighters, and two or more friendly fighters each made one or more successful attack actions in the preceding action phase. That feels fairly doable late. Especially if you're getting the range two guys involved.
The only thing that I worry about with this one is that you probably are going to have to kind of lean on Scritch and Kirk to make it happen, because two successful attacks is not like that should be able to be done. But also, if you're having to use two fury attacks, it gets a lot dicier. So.
Once they're inspired, I think this is a real easy one.
Yeah. And for two glory, I think you're willing to chase this a little bit.
Sure. Next.
Endless Swarm. So this is a Surge hybrid. Score this immediately after an activation step if there are more friendly fighters in enemy territory than enemy fighters in that territory, which we had another card that was basically this. It's in Toxic
Terror. Yeah, there was at least as many, which is a pretty big difference. That's taking fair. Advantage, that's I think.
The other caveat of this is each friendly fighter is in enemy territory. So if it's late, I guess, in the game, you can kind of guarantee this is going to happen. And otherwise, it'll be a little bit matchup dependent. You don't like seeing this when you're playing Gits.
This is looking more and more. I mean, we're seeing more and more stuff that is getting into enemy territory, kind of swarming in.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Which, with the revive mechanic, I guess, is fine.
Yeah.
But, like, you might also be setting your opponent up for a lot of excess glory if you're just
a lot of Skaven farming.
Feeding them little two wound fighters. So, we'll see.
Yeah. Next, we have. Not Scritch is the greatest yes. I am the greatest yes. As a Surge for one, score this immediately after a friendly leader's attack action takes an enemy fighter out of action. I love it. Little nod to Kirk being able to become the leader. That's cool. That gives that some more mileage. Probably if you're killing somebody, it's with one of those two. It's perfectly solid for a kill Surge, I think.
Yeah. I think this is plenty playable. Depending on what you end up building overall for your deck, maybe you don't take it, but if you're going to have to do killing, I agree. It's going to be with Crick or Scritch probably.
Sure.
The next one is Numbers Without Limit. We've got a duel here. You score this in an end phase. If two or more friendly fighters were taken out of action in the preceding action phase and one or more enemy fighters were taken out of action in the preceding action phase.
Two. Interesting.
So the only thing I don't like about this is that all of the fighters that were taken out of action, it has to happen all in the same round.
Yeah.
Whereas we saw similar things with Garrick's Reavers, but it was just checking total numbers.
Yeah.
So like as the game went on, it became more and more inevitable. Whereas this, it's like if you draw this in round three, there might not be enough fighters left to be able to score this.
Yeah. There might be not be enough left, or you might have weird positioning where it's like it's pretty much everybody on the board is going to have to die except for one person or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which would be awkward. So I like the flavor. I don't love the card, though, personally.
Yeah. I think there's some rounds where this is definitely going to happen. It's just that it won't happen consistently enough. You know, sometimes it'll happen just in the course of the game. You won't even have to really work at this at all.
Yeah.
But there's just sometimes it'll be pretty awkward.
Yeah. No, I think this will definitely happen in like every game. It'll just be the question, is this card in your hand when it happens?
So. All right. Well, we got Safely Does It. I think this used to be called... At arm's length. Yeah, okay. Surge Duel. Score this immediately after an activation step if a friendly fighter's attack action took the target out of action and that fighter was not adjacent to the target. That used to be just like Scritch because he was the only range two. Now you got a couple.
Yeah.
Actually, three, I guess, if you managed to hit with Rust, whatever the shuriken thing are.
Yeah, with the lurking Skaven.
More opportunities. This is
basically the same. I wonder... Is there anything different about this card?
Well, only that you only have one. Oh, yeah. Well, because Oh yeah, I guess it is.
Because it's a new name, but it.
Yeah. Huh. I mean,
it doesn't hurt.
Interesting. Yeah,
a new name, but sure. Like, it's just weird. Okay, that's fine. Right.
Yep, another fine kill surge.
Yeah. Send in the next wave. Oh God. Send in the next wave. Was this World War One? Score this immediately after an inspired friendly minion is taken out of action. Oh.
Wow.
So get him killed once and
No, get him killed once, you're thinking of skeletons. This is
Oh yeah. You just have to choose him first. But like
I think this is great, actually.
It's not bad. It's just that it's like with the art, especially. I'm just looking at this art. It's two very dead Skaven just laying there.
Yeah, I kind of love how many cards are revolving around your Skaven being dead or dying. But
mm-hmm. That's interesting, though.
Yeah,
I think this will happen.
I guarantee this will happen. I think you build a power deck that has a lot of choose. You're going to be inspired. You got plenty of two wound guys.
Yeah.
These minions are going to go down. You keep them kind of keeping people busy, put them in spots where they have to decide, am I turning around to kill that guy? Am I going to kick him off this objective? And you benefit from it either way.
Yeah. It's really nice. If you have like a plan where you're passively, like say you include another deck that lets you hold objectives or something to score pretty passively, and your opponent's choice is leave them on the objective and you score, or kill them and you score. That feels pretty bad. So
sure.
Like it. Next one is Skavenar Supreme. This is dual, score in the end phase. If each surviving friendly fighter is inspired, at least one, and there are one or fewer surviving enemy fighters from each enemy warband.
Whoa.
It is for three glory, but man, that is asking you to do a lot. That is almost annihilation plus have your entire warband inspired.
Yeah, I think the inspired thing is again, like I'm remembering all the Skaven decks that I've played against, which it always felt like everyone was inspired by the start of the second round. But and there was a time in Dire Chasm where there was a couple, I can't remember the names, but there was maybe two different one was a third end phase, one wasn't, but there were objectives for three glory that wanted to get people down to one. Yeah. This might be a meta call one. Like, I think if you are up against elites, like I think if you're seeing a lot of Storm Coven or other Stormcast or stuff like that, then getting people down to one actually happens fairly often. And then there's just one really tough nut to crack left. But
I don't know. This feels like a lot of work. I would. Yeah. I mean, if this was like, I don't know. I wouldn't think four glory would be unreasonable for this, but it's still playable. Like it'll happen in some games. It's just, I don't know how consistent it is.
Sure. I think it gives you something to work towards as well. Like, hey, how do I pick off everybody but one?
Yeah. And a little mini game for me to play, right?
I guess if they need to drive their glory ceiling up and they don't have other ways, that might be something they look for.
Sure.
But if you have a route to a hold objective, then a build, then maybe not.
Yeah.
Standing out. Oh, this is great, I think. Surge, score this. Surge for one. Surge, score this immediately after a friendly minion makes a successful attack action.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, that's great. As soon as they're inspired, they have totally reasonable accuracy. And
just land it.
Yeah, we'll see if they have. And then if you get any weapon upgrades, like. If you gave, what's the Venom Bite Shank or something?
Crazy accuracy. Cleave or something. It's just like, okay, sure.
Sure. Solid one.
Can do it. All right. Yeah. And then, we've got Crick here. I think he's the one with the perfect plan. Yeah. So this is called the perfect plan. Hybrid, score this in an end phase if a friendly Skritch is out of action and a friendly Crick is inspired, or a friendly Crick is out of action and a friendly Skritch is inspired. Oh, that's interesting.
For two, I definitely would.
Yeah, think for about two, it, yeah. I would consider it. I don't know, like you don't really want either of them to die, but I bet you that in most games, one of them will.
Mm-hmm. And you can risk one and kind of make your opponent be like, am I
playing into your plans here? Like, is this intentional? Did Crick get sent to the front lines because he offended Scritch?
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. I like that. That's interesting.
All right. Vermintide. This is a duel for one. It's an end phase. There are one or more surviving friendly fighters in enemy territory, and there are more surviving friendly fighters than surviving enemy fighters. Meta dependent.
Yeah. Like,
super easy or into some, or really hard into others.
Yeah. So say you're facing off against Daintelos and all of his reviving zombies every turn. This will never score, I don't think, unless you can assassinate Daintelos. But against any elite warband, I think this is pretty much guaranteed. So.
Yeah, oh, no. for one, it's easily swappable for something else.
Yeah.
All right,
and that's it. That's the objectives. We'll start with the gambits here, which are all going to be ploys because they don't have a wizard.
Yeah.
So we've got cautious skitter, or skitter, not skitter.
That's a different warband.
That's a little different. So we got. Oh, I like this. Push each friendly minion up to one hex towards the nearest enemy fighter. I always like a good multi-push. And yes, this one has to be towards enemy fighters, but like, you can still make plenty of hay with this. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. It's good to set up your Grievous with your
get those supports. Your
two spear rats. Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid. Not a choose. We'll keep track.
Not a choose.
Yeah. Also not a choose is Frenzied Stabbing. I think this is a direct port. Plus one damage to the first range one or two attack action by a friendly fighter in the next activation.
I don't hate it.
No, yeah. In Nemesis, damage can be hard to come by. So
yeah,
this is exactly how Drom died in like the first game I played at LVO.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, somebody came and Frenzy Stabbed him. And I was like, well, wow. I did not think you had the damage to do that. But
yeah.
Here I am with a lot of salvageable cards.
Yeah. Well, and with Scritch and Crick getting up plus one damage, that's pretty scary. So,
yeah.
Next one is Furious Scrabbling. the mental image is not anything like what the card means. I'm imagining them playing Scrabble. we've got a reaction here. So again, not a choose. So we're already down 3.
Oh, for 3.
Not choosing. That's not great. Play this during an enemy fighter's attack action after the out of action step. If a friendly fighter was taken out of action, push up to 2 friendly fighters, 1 hex each. I like it. Any friendly fighters, and you are absolutely going to lose some fighter at some point. So why not?
Sure. It seems like there's going to be a lot of stuff where they can kind of, we're going to present you with what seems to be like an obvious kill or something like that. And then if you take it, we're going to benefit from it in some way.
Right. Yeah. Really make your opponent have to think, how bad is this going to be for me if I do what I think I'm supposed to do here?
Yeah.
I like that.
Next, we got Heightened Caution, plus one defense to friendly fighters in the next activation. That is board wide. So that's kind of cool. Not a choose, unfortunately. And a lot of times these cards, people just be like, okay, well, I'll just do something not important. But
right. It's like, oh, you're on 3 dodge. I guess I'll draw a power card, which I don't know. It is taking away valuable action economy from your opponent, but also, I don't know. Sometimes you'd prefer a card that's going to be a little more like it's going to move you towards your game plan a little more.
Yeah, a lot of times we'll see this kind of card with like everybody who's standing on an objective gets plus one defense or everybody who's standing next to somebody else or something like that. So this being board wide, and given that they, I think, all get to everybody except Hungering, I think, gets to 2 dice inherently. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's a little strange because they don't, at least in their faction deck, have anything for holding objectives. So if you were to go that route, which I don't think would be even wrong to do, but if you were, you're going to have to be bringing all the payoffs for holding from something else.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we finally have a choose. Choose an enemy. Malicious Stab. Oh, it does choose a friendly as well. Okay, choose an enemy fighter that is adjacent to two or more friendly fighters. Choose one of those friendly fighters that has no move or charge tokens. The chosen fighter makes a range one or two attack action. Extra attack actions are awesome in general. This is maybe a little tough to set up, but with the with the multi-push, you're probably going to get there.
Hopefully. Two or more. So you get two friendly fighters adjacent to an enemy, and then you can make a free attack. That's not too bad.
No, that's all right.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. And it doesn't specify that it has to be an attack from their card, and they don't say it can't be a super action. So like if you have Scything set up, you could even attack other fighters. So
I think
it's decent.
All right, let's get some more chooses, maybe.
Yeah, well, this one chooses. We got Musk of Fear. Choose a friendly fighter. Give them a guard token. This might be exactly the same as what it was in the previous deck.
I think it might be.
But it's good. I like it either way.
Yeah, putting two dodge fighters on guard is a huge boost, especially if you are trying to win a particular spot or hold a particular objective. So
yeah, and I mean, the fact that it'll probably make your offensive stats better as well. I like it.
Yeah. Let's see. What do we got? Nervous Scrabbling. Oh, this is your Inspire Fuel. I think this card looks exactly like it was. This is choose two fighters that are adjacent to each other, one or more of which is a friendly fighter. Place each fighter in the hex that was occupied by the other fighter when you chose them. Yeah. So I've seen a lot of people use this, like, I'm just going to inspire two rats right away. But honestly, since playing Nemesis, I've really missed having the option to take Confusion,
very much,
which is what this is, with the caveat that you must have a friendly. But this is a great way to steal an objective from somebody that without having to risk an attack or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Distraction and Confusion are two cards that I miss a lot. So this is solid. For people who have never played against that, it is. Very good.
Yeah.
And we have another. We have choose a friendly minion that is out of action. So this is not going to inspire them, unfortunately. But you do get to place the chosen fighter on an empty hex and not on an objective.
Then why do we think it inspires them? Is it because they're out of action,
right? Because you're choosing them while they're out of action?
But I think you'll choose them and then it won't be until the inspire step afterwards that they would inspire. So it would check to see if they have been chosen.
That could be. Yeah. That could be. I would want to double check the rule book, but I think you're probably right. So that makes this even better. And it's interesting that it says you can place them on an empty hex, just not an objective. And then you give them
Yeah.
And you give them a move or charge token. So it doesn't have to be a starting hex. So they're going to show up wherever you need them, which is scary.
Whoa. All right.
And you get to choose whether that's the move or a charge token. So if you need to be charged out, you can give them a charge token. And if you just want them to be there to make an attack or something, give them a move. Okay. I like that. That's cool. I think
this used to be there are always more, which was just do scritches, a starting hex.
Yeah. Wow. That's scary. Especially if you can get a scary weapon out on somebody.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I haven't seen plenty more yet. They can just be popping up right next to my fighter who's almost dead.
Yeah. The number of times that I've scored a kill with Maskborn has been great. And this guy doesn't just fall over dead as soon as he does it. So
that's cool. Good card.
Yeah.
How about this next one?
Swift Skitter. We're still riding the choose train. It's really turned around here after those first four. You can only play this card in your power step. Choose a friendly fighter with no move or charge tokens. The chosen fighter makes a move action. Give the chosen fighter one charge token. So you're only doing it in your power step, which means you can't kind of set up.
Yeah, so you wouldn't be able to move going into your next turn so that you could take advantage of where they're going.
Yeah.
Right? So I guess the idea is that, like, this gives you a way to reposition, but not an offensive reposition.
Sure. I like this, especially late, or not late, but like once the battle lines are kind of wrapped up a little bit. Because you'll have that sort of thing where, like, okay, they've got a big beefy fighter who's sitting next to somebody. I want to try to get them to charge or do or to commit, and so they don't just like hit this guy. So you can kind of run away, make them go two different directions. Or just pure action efficiency. If you're trying to stand on objectives, this is not a warband that has any inbuilt stuff like scurry or whatever the I don't know, March of the Dead, any of those things that give you multiple moves. This warband does not have that built in, so this is a way to kind of get onto objectives a little bit quicker, or
for
free action.
I like it. I like it. There's a number of different cards that care about your positioning, and this is a way to do it kind of unexpectedly. They even have stuff in their deck now that just says like, hey, you have a certain number of friendly fighters in enemy territory. Well, this is a way to do it late in a round and just be able to say, I am kind of good to go here.
Yeah. Yeah. Our last one is also a choose. So six out of 10 in faction.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And I think you can easily push that higher. And we've been fairly warm on a lot of their chooses here. So, but this is Verminous Backstab. Choose a friendly fighter. Plus one dice to the chosen fighter's first attack action in the next activation if that fighter is supported. So this is a worse determined effort if you are looking at the essentials, which is just a straight plus one dice, except for the fact that it chooses a friendly fighter. So this reads inspire somebody, and then if you're positioned well, then they can get extra dice.
I think it's fine. Like plus one dice is decent. There's some interesting cards.
Prime target for this is Scritch and Crick. Get them inspired, and then increase the chance that they'll hit that Grievous.
I was thinking for Nemesis pairings, the reason I sort of paused is because I was like, wait, how many things care about supported fighters in Nemesis? And it's actually not that many, but Beastbound Assault has a couple things that it's like caring about attacks with supported fighters. So I think that's pretty cool. Maybe not like an auto include every time, but it's solid. I like it.
Yeah.
And that rounds out the gambits. Straight into some upgrades here. We've got Browbeater, which this art looks way more like strangely realistic for rats than any of the other art has been. Summon Swarm action. If this fighter is not Kirk, the almost trusted, and I should say this is restricted to Kirk or a minion, give this fighter one charge token, choose a minion that is out of action, and place the chosen fighter on an empty hex, not an objective.
Wow. Oh, interesting. So you can give the summon ability to anybody in the warband.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the summon ability that you're giving them is slightly better.
Oh yeah. There's it's like plenty more. Right?
Yeah, it's like plenty more, which is weird. I was expecting it to be Scritch's ability, just you get to put it on another fighter, but no, it's slightly better than that.
I feel like I got to look back at Scritch, make sure we didn't miss that.
I just did. We didn't. It says starting hex for Scritch, but these are just any empty hex that's not an objective.
Interesting.
Wow. Okay. I like it.
I like that you can put it on one of the other minions. Like it's a tough one, you know, because they charge. Although if you manage to get everybody charged out, then you'll be able to continue to do it. So that's cool. Yeah.
But I don't know. I like it. I think there's probably quite a few sneaky plays to be able to bring somebody back.
Sure. Yeah. Especially since you're probably building on strategies that try to recycle, you know, some of your fighters again and again.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. This is next one.
Chaos Tainted Blades. Restricted to a minion. Which I love. Because it's a range 1/3 fury, 2 damage, which is a nice bump for most of the minions with cleave and snare and tainted. So this is a good one for that surge. Did a minion hit somebody? But then tainted is during this attack action, after the deal damage step, deal 1 damage to this fighter. So now I know why neither Kirk nor Scritch are willing to pick this thing up.
But honestly, The difference between a fighter with one wound and a fighter with two wounds is usually negligible. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with ping, that's not entirely true anymore, but still,
yeah,
this attack action is pretty good.
Yeah,
Fury, cleave, and ensnare, like
accurate. Yeah,
yeah. So I mean,
this is a Glissette killer, is what this is.
Right. I mean, isn't just take her right down. I like this. I feel like your minions are mostly expendable anyway, so it's like, sure, turn them into a little cruise missile.
Yeah. Might you say they are completely expendable?
I might. I might even say that. And then we'd have this card, completely expendable, which this is also restricted to a minion. And it says, this fighter has no bounty. The next time this fighter is taken out of action, break this card. So, you know, the good things don't last forever. And apparently something like 7 years was the lifespan for expendable. Yeah. And we now have a still very good upgrade, but not cracked in half like expendable.
Yeah. I wonder if this makes the cut most times. Like, I'm sure you'll find somebody. I mean, it is, it's essentially a one net glory. Like if you put it on somebody that they're definitely going to want to kill.
Right. Be more reckless with the fighter that you put this on, because then it's like, well, are they going to turn around and attack the fighter that doesn't give any bounty? Like, they might just to break this, but if they do, you're not out anything for it.
Sure.
So
I got to imagine, because what it says is like has no bounty, period. So
zero.
In the insane scenario where you get one of your minions up to large, or more likely if somebody has something like, you know,
pick up an extra bounty when they get a kill.
I mean, I say insane scenario, but I can think of one right off the top. If you're fighting against the headsman,
they
have one that says, hey, you're 5 wounds now, and I've just sharpened my sword way up.
Right.
So, that's cool. All right.
Nifty. What's up next?
Conniving Goad. This is unrestricted, so anyone can use it. I would have assumed it was Scritch, but action. Choose another friendly fighter. This fighter and the chosen fighter each make one move action. Oh, just saying, these guys did not have action efficiency, but I was wrong.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Wow. And it looks like you'll be able to do it against somebody who, like if your other fighter that you're taking has already charged, you'll be able to move that fighter too.
Yeah.
I like that a
lot. How do you like this if they, for some reason, decide to pick up Void Cursed?
Love it. Oh, wow. That'd be wild.
Interesting stuff. I don't know. This is like, there's going to be a lot of very useful scenarios for this. I'm just not 100% sure what they are right off the top of my head. But
I think anytime you're doing hold objective stuff, all of a sudden this becomes pretty important.
So. Yeah. Move 5 fighters getting to move, and they don't have to like end adjacent or something. Because sometimes you have those cards where it's like you can react to move another fighter, but they have to end alongside that one. These is just like,
scatter directions,
send them wherever. That's
cool.
That's really good. I like it.
I like this one for holding in your hand until you're like, now is the time. Like,
I'm going to surprise them and go grab 2 objectives when they didn't think that was possible. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. What do we got next?
We got Scritch. got some desperate strength here.
This might have been the art on his whirling halberd upgrade from before.
Might have been. So this is +1 damage to this fighter's range 1 and range 2 attack actions. And after this fighter's successful range 1 or range 2 attack action, you break this card. That's fine, I guess. Like, a almost great strength is still useful, especially in Nemesis. But having to break your upgrade after one successful attack, even if you don't get the kill with it, like,
it's tough. So, you know, we think about power cards. We wouldn't blink twice if we had a ping. You know, I mean, this is essentially one power card for one damage. But it hurts more when it's in an upgrade for sure.
Yeah. You had to spend something.
Yeah.
There's less of there's more of an opportunity cost because you have to, the attack has to come from the upgraded fighter. Whereas
yeah, to spend Gambits, the glory to even get it out there.
You can just play him out whenever you need him, sometimes even as a surprise. Whereas this, it's like, hey, I now have this fighter with plus one damage. So
yeah, I mean, unequivocally, you would rather have great strength if you're playing championship.
Oh yeah.
But in Nemesis, when damage is so hard to find sometimes, maybe.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in Nemesis, I think you still take this, but you might have better choices.
All right. All right. Here's a Rusty Shuriken. Is an attack action, not limited. So anyone in the warband can have this. Range 3, 2 smash, 1 damage, grievous 1.
I like that.
Yep. Don't hate that at all. Get on an objective and have something useful to do. Threaten other objective holders. Yeah.
I mean, I would take a 2 smash, 3 range, 1 damage attack most of the time. Like, that's pretty accurate, and you can just sit there and kind of ping away at people. But giving a grievous, like, there's a real chance that this is going to mess somebody's day up.
Yeah.
I also really love the flavor text on this.
Purloined from dead Eshin warriors, these are surprisingly effective weapons. I guess background-wise, these guys are Clan Verminous.
Yeah.
So even though I think when they first came out, you kind of thought of lurking Skaven as Eshin, festering Skaven as Pestilens a little bit. They're just kind of like, they're still Verminous. They're just in that range.
Skaven kind of in general. But I think there's a lot of play with this. There's a lot of different directions you could go. And I like that one.
Next. Ruthless Dodger.
Yeah. So this is a reaction upgrade. You use this during an attack action that targets this fighter after the determined success step if the attack action succeeds. So this is before damage is dealt, but you knew it's successful. So then you choose one friendly minion that is within 2 hexes of the attacker. That minion is taken out of action, and then the combat sequence. Okay. So you're passing the damage off to one of your expendable guys. I like that. Okay. And it breaks this, but like a one-off to just save Scritch or something, like, I think that's pretty useful.
And it will trigger send in the next wave, because that doesn't need it to be an attack. It just needs an inspired Skaven to be killed. So somebody's trying to play around that. I guess this puts it, you will know it's there, and you'll know, there's plenty of counterplay, because they can try to position away from the minion to make sure your attack goes through. Interesting.
Yeah. Like, if this was a gambit, it would be way more punishing, because your opponent would never know exactly when it was going to happen. So I kind of like it that it's on an upgrade. I hate the thing in, what is it? The, Dread Pageant, where it's like, I'm going to just pass the damage off to somebody else. And it's like,
it's so like brutal. That's everything. Like gambit speed. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, so I'm kind of glad it's not like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, this art. Wow. How about some Sewer Whisperer?
Yeah. I don't think this has any, there's no context for a previous card like this from this warband. During this fighter's attack actions, if you rolled one or more successes, add 1 success to the number of successes you rolled. Whoa.
Holy moly.
That's great.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, at first, as I started reading it, I thought it was like that, like the Plague Pack, where they had that one gambit. It's like, if you are tied, then add 1. But this just adds 1. So you can be like, hey, I rolled a smash. Now I actually have 2 smashes, so you better roll a crit. Oh, wow.
That is so nice. Yeah. But in some cases, that's better than plus dice.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I totally agree.
Weird.
Yeah. Crazy. That's really, really good.
Well, first, like, absolute auto include. There's no chance you don't take this. Scritch with this. Oh, my. It's a good thing he's not base 3 damage anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, next up, we're going to skitter scurry out of here. We got reaction. Use this after this fighter. This is restricted. It is restricted to Scritch or Kirk. And you use this after this fighter's action, push this fighter one hex. If this reaction is used during a super action, that super action ends.
I think it's if you are mostly doing it like scything, right? Like if you were, because if you're using it during a charge, then why didn't you just move? I mean, I guess this would let you get charged out while only making a move and a push.
But after the fighter's action, isn't that, wouldn't you have to wait all the way until the end of the scything attack?
Activation is what you're thinking. Action.
Oh, just any, after this fighter's action. So it's just any action.
Yeah.
Oh, weird. Okay.
So I don't think we've ever seen a weird situation where you start scything. You're like, oh, I'm not hitting anybody. This is going terribly. I'm going to bail out. But you just wait until the end of the scything attack action. Yeah. I think that must be in there specifically. I mean, often they say you cannot use this during a super action with this sort of thing to prevent you from doing weird surfing scythings.
I know they execute
some stuff, but
yeah.
Great card though. Yeah.
I do really like good card. Just being able to push all the time though. That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, this is restricted to Scritch and Kirk. And this is a particularly powerful card on range two fighters who can, stab one person and then step in a different direction instead. I've definitely surfed fighters around a lot in the past with dual speed and stuff.
Or even if you're in a situation where like you've got one more attack you can make, but your opponent's charged out. So you charge in, attack, and then take a step back away.
Range.
Yeah. Yep. And that's pretty cool. Like that. Dual speed is, fun, but this is not restricted to attacks, so you can that's pretty solid.
I mean if you're desperate, it's almost just like plus one move. I'm gonna walk five and at the end of it I'm gonna
sometimes that's all you need.
This goes in my opinion. It's great.
Oh yeah, very flexible. It doesn't take long to think through all the scenarios where this would be helpful, so
yeah,
I like it. Next up, we're doing some sneaky stabbing, and this is sneaky stab. It's an action. Push this fighter one hex. Then this fighter makes one range one or two attack action. That's pretty cool with the range two attack, right? I mean, there's going to be times where like you're just one away from being able to make attacks without charging. So you play this out and then you're like, cool, I can push and then I make an attack.
Not terrible, even with the range one guys who, just like, let's get an attack and then we'll charge after that for something. You don't even have to be out of range for it. Oh yeah. So like you said, the range two guys, they could step away. Mm-hmm. Like you have those start around things where like I am sitting adjacent to a fighter with, a powerful range one attack. I'd like to swing at him, but I don't want to hang out here. Here you just like take a step back, poke him.
That's really cool. I like this card a lot.
Yeah, this existed previously. This is just a much cleaner wording. It says action, not super action. This feels like two things happening. Well, it's not two actions.
No, because it's a push.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Really? They had this as a card before?
Yeah, it may or may not have been restricted to Scritch, but there was something. It was like push. I think it was specifically like push one before you make an attack. It was definitely in there. And it opened up all these weird things of like, well, if I charge,
I had a lot more questions. This one
doesn't let you do it during a charge, which I think is a cleaner, creates less confusing situations.
And no, like in the middle of scything or something weird like that.
Right.
Still good though. So that's the last one. We've gone through all the cards. I would say they feel a bit different than they used to be. I'd say they feel like they're kind of horde aggro almost.
Yeah, I feel like they leaned even harder on the Skaven flavor, or maybe it's just that there's more Skaven flavored cards that are usable.
Right. You're more interested in leaning in that direction because they made the cards not trash.
Yeah.
Not a third end phase for one.
Yeah. I think the power deck kicks. I like that quite a bit going through that. I think I've got more question marks on the objective deck. I'll be interested to see that in practice.
Yeah, so. I think there's definitely some stuff where you'd want to make some changes, but I think there's plenty of different pairings where you could. I see a lot of potential here. I think there's a lot of cool stuff you could do.
Let's run that down for a second off the really understanding this right off the top of the dome.
Oh yeah. I mean,
what do you think are the pairings that you might be interested in here?
Well, without reviewing the cards again, which is always a little dangerous, but
yeah.
I feel like there's some play with Beastbound Assault. There's a lot of stuff in Beastbound Assault that cares about having minions and support. And so you're kind of getting to do some of that. And they have a few different things in Beastbound, which is like, it's like hold, but they made it change the wording so that beasts could score it. But like, you can still do it with the Skaven because they're minions. Sure. So I kind of like that. I could imagine a world where playing them with like Tooth and Claw probably wouldn't be horrible. Although I don't love Tooth and Claw's objective deck. So maybe...
Yeah,
maybe not, but like there's still some stuff there.
I mean, if you're leaning hard on the aggro, I wonder if the I wonder if Breakneck Slaughter helps you out.
It does have some more weapons, so that's good. A spear, which I think you would love to put on one of your minions, and
has a few excellent objectives for him too.
Yeah, Gale Force and the what's it called? The Eager for the Fight.
Yeah,
just everybody's charged. Or near enemy fighters.
Sure. That's
pretty good. So I guess that's a couple options for like the aggro game plan. Do you think they can still hold as well as they used to?
Yeah. There's movement efficiency in there. They're on two dodge. I'd be interested to see. I mean, again, like the big thing was like they can come back in enemy territory, and that was always what made them good at that. So things that want them to hold an enemy. I wonder, Rhymeblock Relics, which we haven't actually discussed here, but that has quite a few objectives that want you to hold in enemy territory or be in enemy territory.
It's true.
And if you can thaw out some of those Rhymeblock Relics,
getting those repeatable minions is pretty wild. Yeah, yeah, some of those are scary. And that deck, which I know we... It'll be interesting because like we're recording this as this will be the first episode we record for this release cycle, but it will not be the first episode that goes out. So Rhymelocked Ruins is going to be, I think, and obviously we don't need to get too deep into this, but I think it's going to be like flex and like about the truest flex, like right in the middle of the road as we've seen. So maybe these guys are pretty good at that because
It feels like they have a lot of stuff that's like fight and then a lot of things that say I'm decent at holding. So
Interesting. I think they definitely like having weapons though to put on their revivable fighters, make them scary. So anything that brings that is pretty cool. Masks, I think, is in play here, right? Because you could bring rats back with masks and some of the hold objective stuff is really easy. And
you got a couple things for Seed Glory. Like if you if you can get them to kill one of your inspired fighters.
I wonder, though, how many choose cards are there?
In masks?
Yeah.
Mask is weird because there's a whole lot of really powerful effects if you take extra gambits. I don't know. Yeah, it's a tough one.
There's actually quite a few.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
There's Possessive Crouch is another guard card in there, which they don't hate. So
there are 7 choose cards at masks.
Ooh. Well, all right.
Now of course many of these say with a mask. So there's that caveat. But
I mean
it's still pretty good. And like you know, Possessive Crouch, they don't need to have a mask for that. And Hooded Rush, you don't have to have a mask for that.
Just have to have an upgrade. And they do love, Domino Dominance. You know, because this is when you have such a controllable Inspire, being able to do that is just printing glory. So that's pretty cool.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. Right. I like that.
Well, I think what's interesting is how many different decks we threw out as possibilities there. They're not even getting flexible. Into like Daring Delvers, which wants you to be on feature tokens in enemy territory. I think what we're reading out of that is that they are perhaps flex. We feel like they're maybe fairly flex, and so that keeps our options open.
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't warn you about this, Phil, but I think we're about to wrap up. But I think one thing that'd be fun to do is that we each throw out a favorite thing. Just it can be anything. It can be a card, a fighter, idea. What is your favorite thing from this warband?
I really love how much they leaned into the sort of backstabby flavor of Skaven in this deck. Yeah. I think it is really cool.
Yeah.
How about you?
I'm with you. I'm going to be even more specific. I bet I will always forget this rule for the first five times I play him, but the Kirk rules now, drawing power cards when Skritch dies.
Yeah.
I think is just such great. A flavorful little rule. So yeah, I think we're saying the same thing. We love the backstabby flavor that got dragged out here. So, well, you got any further thoughts or should we wrap it up here?
I think we can keep it short and sweet. I kind of like this as like a just blitz through them and give all of our thoughts real time. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, I enjoyed that quite a bit. We obviously, by the time you hear this, we'll have had a little bit more time with these guys, except not really because we have so much work to do to like record about these other things and edit all those pieces and make the blogs and all that sort of thing. So, I think by the time you actually hear this episode, we're just going to be glad to be playing instead of in the content mines. But that makes us sound like we're complaining about something that is kind of a privilege to get to see this stuff and work early. And we just kind of want to do right by it. This is the best way we can figure how to get some out to talk to you folks about it, get hyped. And man, this is interesting. Looking at the other warbands, I'm excited to see them. But like between Spike Claw, Gits and Thorns entering into this elite meta. This is the first time I think that we've seen these swarmy warbands that are more specifically designed for the current generation of charged out rules and stuff that have helped boost elite warbands into such a powerful spot. So,
I will try not to say too much because I don't want to color anything, but having already reviewed Thorns, I agree with you. Blog.
Okay, cool. we would absolutely love to hear from you. Come on to our Discord, chat to us there. There's always some conversation going. If you would prefer email, whatthehexcast@gmail.com. There is all the Mortal Realms content. We say thanks to our patrons who help cover our hosting fees and all that sort of thing. It really makes it easier when I'm not also paying out of pocket on top of spending all the time to justify to the family just how deep we dive into this particular hobby. So thanks there. Thanks also to GW for the preview content. That makes it possible for us to do reviews such as this. Coming up, we'll continue our week of Underworlds, our celebration week. So I can't tell you where in the order this episode landed, but more is coming or already came, mark. Phil, these cards are all new to you.
They are.
However, you still got to do the flavor text quiz.
Oh man. I only read a few of the flavor texts, so we'll see.
So we are, you know, how do I, let's see, let's go. When threatened, Ratmen release a pungent pheromone that heightens their senses and alerts their kin.
This is an old one. I think it's the something musk, Musk of Fear?
Yes, you got it.
Yeah. I think the flavor text is even the same on the old card.
Yeah. Oh, it might even be. it's an interesting thing. So I think a lot of the art, like we commented a little bit like, hey, this is the art from this or whatever. With the change in art format. There's like this kind of a lot of the art is like zoomed in things of an existing art, or like a super zoomed in, like we want to take one little piece. So like, yeah, some of these are like, whoa, I can see the brush strokes, you know, like it's I that's not a complaint. I'm super glad. And it's honestly kind of nice to see some of that old nostalgic art in there too. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we've got an easy recommend listening for this. This is by Meshuga. It is Swarm, and we'll go with that. For What the Hex, I've been Davey.
And I've been Phil.
Folders. It only takes very small changes on stuff like Google Drive to.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm like, what? Where
chaos?
The thing that I've clicked every time for the last however long.
Yeah.
Avalanche of content is the only document I have in episodes 131 to 140, but that seems valid. If we don't know how to do this by the time. Now that we're recording our 131st, then we're just in trouble.
I know, right? There's no helping us at that point.